Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin that's going to list all the current and upcoming events. Be sure to take that home with you. And if you misplaced it or if you just want more information, go to consciousharmony.org and check out the website. There's also on your insert, there is our community song that we'll be singing together. You might want to take a minute and look over that now while we have a moment so that you can freely sing during our song time. Our next multi-day retreat is going to be held starting June 19th at Cedar Break. You can sign up for either the 5-day portion, 6-day, or 10-day portion of the retreat. And anybody with a centering prayer practice qualifies. Someone asked me the other day, so what is the theme for this retreat? And I said, transformation in Christ. If you cannot make that, there is also a one-day centering prayer retreat that will be held on Saturday, June 13th from 8:30 to 4:30. There is a $15 suggested love offering for that. There is no need to pre-register, and we do ask you to bring a dish for a potluck lunch. So, as with all of our centering prayer events, don't let money hold you back from attending. There are always scholarships available. On Sunday, June 14th at 1 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall following church, there's going to be an enrichment offering. The movie One will be shown with a discussion following. And I believe that it has some superstars in there that we know and love. Is Wayne in there? But I'm thinking that maybe, but definitely Father Thomas Keating will be in there, talking with other spiritual luminaries from other different faiths. As part of our ministry, CCH collects non-perishable food items to be donated to Caritas, who then distributes them to the greater community. And we ask that you bring your donation next Sunday, June 7th. And there's a collection table near the kitchen. And whether you bring a can or two or a box or two of something, or whether you bring a bag of groceries, all donations will be welcome. And that's our way to reach out to the greater community from this community. So it takes a little bit of thought, but I know you can do that. And if you're new and you would like more information, there will be somebody immediately on the other side of the bridge to talk with you and to give you something to take home and read. And now Tim has a message for us.
Can I make a little addendum to your one presentation? The luminaries that are being spoken of are of all stripes and hues. There's one woman that dresses up like a fairy, and she goes around bringing happiness to people. This idea of one is one across all lines of cultural, spiritual and religious devotion, because they're all coming to the One and coming from the One. And the beauty of seeing this grand array of human expressions of oneness is that it helps release us from our stereotypical hold on our own point of view. It helps us realize the allness of God, and it opens our hearts to the dance, to the divine dance that's going on everywhere, that we may not be aware of because we may be judging others that they're not on this journey because they're not in the right religion or something. Speaking of right religions, on Wednesday night, a good number of us shared the experience of the recitation of the beautiful cosmic prayer, Japsab. How many of us were there for that? Oh my goodness, yes. Yes. Would anybody like to share an impression of that? Because yesterday at our Board of Trustees meeting, we decided that we want to do that twice a year. If we did it more, it had probably become trite. If we did it less, we wouldn't be advancing in our capacity to bear the cosmic vision that's enlivened by that prayer. But who would like to share something about that? Come on. Okay, we got Alicia.
Again, just two words, higher hydrogens.
That's a work term now. A lot of us
okay.
know.
Okay, higher hydrogens, just a different level of the lightness and light coming down in and through and out.
Yeah, beautiful. Who else has an impression of it? Go ahead, Jim. I liked what you said at the board meeting.
Let me see if I can remember. I found this prayer to be surprising in its length, and I'm not exaggerating. It's very long, but I have never heard so many descriptions of the Creator in such a positive way. Some of them repeated a few times, but it was fun to sort of notice which ones were brought up several times and which ones passed once. And it also was a bit like centering prayer, where you are constantly reminded to come back to the sacred word. In this case, I found myself planning my week, thinking about what food we might be having over the weekend, and then I would remember, oh, here I am saying all these words. I've completely daydreamed off into life, and so I would come back and continue. So to say it's easy would not be true. To say it's a wonderful experience that I would recommend and that I would enjoy doing multiple times a year is very true.
Wow. Who else? Yes, go ahead, Howard.
The thing I felt most out of it was that the prayers were being received.
Wow.
And it just, you know, I mean, that in itself was, you know, something just really powerful for the heart.
In this prayer, we say that I've got two translations of it. The one I learned first was salutations to the one who is without form or figure, dress or design, without caste or creed. The one we used the other night was all reverence to the one. And it proceeds from there, naming all the ways in which that one is manifesting the cosmos, each individual, and yet stands free and alone behind it all. Yes, we had Alan and then Barbara.
Well, typically for me, prayers are focused on ideas. And this was a prayer of experience. It was something that you got to be in, participate with. It wasn't just something out there. It was something in here.
Beautiful. Up to Barb.
But two things. One of them was I forgot how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And it was, but then you just surrender to that. But I was thinking I had dedicated it to the people who were whose lives were turned upside down by the flood, and the people who are suffering in war, and for my transformation and the transformation of mankind in the world. So that kind of kept me on track. But I was thinking as we were sitting here right now, how, you know, we're asked to praise God, and we do. But how many times could you actually praise God for an hour with 100 of your most intimate spiritual friends? It was awesome.
I left being very, very elevated. And yet it was difficult for me too. I haven't done it in a long time, several years. And it's an hour. It takes about an hour of recitation to go through it. But as I said, the elevation of the spirit compensates for the numbers of times we stumble or get distracted or think, oh, this is so hard, I don't want to do this. Because those parts of us that are squawking about it, those aren't the parts we're going to take with us when we leave this plane of existence. The parts that are being amplified, being fed, are the spiritual aspects. They're growing and blooming as we elevate our own awareness of the cosmic nature of existence, the all-pervading nature of vibratory life. Instead of cultural conditions, economic concerns, this and that that's going on in the world, there's a whole other life happening. And when we praise that life and elevate our awareness of it, it becomes more alive and active in our lives. I just saw other hands. Yes, Emily?
For me, saying the prayer and hearing it in a group, we were all right next to each other, very close, and the energy was so powerful, it really became an incarnated experience of the One.
Jill, please.
I found that the fruit of the prayer was the next morning, I woke up and I was just blessing everything. Not I blessing everything, but there was something within me that was just being drawn forth to bless everything I came in contact with. And it was just, I felt like the effort that was put forth produced some deeper, finer energies.
Yes, indeed it did. Yeah. Anybody else? Here's Lewis and then Tom.
I wasn't aware of it until I was able to catch up and read that this event was going to happen. And it, in the true sense of the word, it was an enrichment. And I'm not one to chant for much, but this prayer had such a grounding effect. And I hadn't slept for days before that, but that night, I can say, it was quite a soothing and restful, peaceful, you know, feeling. And such was the aforementioned that the waking up the next day. It was carried through, it was continued. But for anybody who hasn't experienced anything as such, I would highly recommend.
Tom, please.
As an actor, I was initially caught up in the need for perfection of the, exactly saying every word correctly.
Good luck.
But after about 10 minutes, it came over me the feeling of staying with the ensemble, the group, and feeling the rhythms that were being established. And it started as I get nearer and nearer to what I consider, I guess, the middle of it, about 100 stanzas in. It's a little bit of problems with the throat and everything, the dryness, but just staying with the group and staying with the group became the most important part of it.
Thank you. It was a very humbling experience for me because I have a dental appliance that makes my mouth very soupy, and I was burping a lot. So I was leading the chant and trying to swallow, not burp, pronounce all the words appropriately. And there were times when I got totally lost and relied on our loving relationship with each other to let me just be this guy that has this issue, even though he's sitting in the chair and leading it. But I had the gift of hearing that. We suggested to ourselves that we work to find the one voice. That instead of disparate voices all over, that we listen to each other and listen to the central spirit, so the one voice came out. And there were times during that prayer when I heard angels speaking all at once. It was an astonishing experience. Anybody else? Yeah, Shannon.
I will honestly say for me, it felt like being reprogrammed by grace.
Wow, that's a good way to say it.
It truly did.
Yeah.
I'm grateful.
Yeah. And Lotus, please.
I experienced so many things that everyone else has said, and just then getting into my car and trying to drive home. It was floating and remembering what I was supposed to be doing. It was just wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to do this again later in the year, and I want you to make an intentional memory of what we've just shared, so that when this strange name comes up again, Jaap Saab, it's JaapSahib, it's Punjabi. When that strange name comes as an offering again, maybe we could get 200 people sitting close together, chanting God's praises with one voice. Maybe. Last week was the Feast of the Holy Spirit, and we talked a little about being guided by the Spirit. And I quoted from Isaiah, if you wander to the left or wander to the right, a voice behind you shall say, this is the way, walk in it. And we quoted Jesus saying, I will send you the Spirit who will remind you of everything I taught you and will tell you everything you need to know. And I offered some experiences from my own guidance by the Holy Spirit. But I think the Holy Spirit has to be developed a little bit in us. And by the way, I misquoted Karl Rahner. Excuse me. Karl Rahner is a Catholic theologian, a towering figure, a fascinating, easy read for me at least. I said that he said if the Holy Spirit were dropped from the theological canon, nobody would notice, but it's the Trinity he was talking about. It's the Trinity. And of course, today's Trinity is today is a solemnity of the Holy Trinity. But it's the Spirit that I want to work with a little bit here, because the Spirit is probably the least known of all the Trinity, which has often been presented as a young man, an old man, and a bird. Now, we open every service. Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Now, I truly believe, ask and it shall be given. Whatever you ask for, you'll get it when you really ask. Did any of you feel a bird entering into you? Now, that was meant to be humorous, excuse me. There's no bird. The place that's translated as a dove descended on him from above with the baptism of Jesus by John. What I have been told, about what Thomas said this, didn't he? Yeah. That what it really means is as gently as the air underneath the wings of a dove. As gently as the air. And so when we worship together, when we stretch our minds together, the Spirit enters into us. But it may not be as dramatic as that which happened at Pentecost, where tongues of fire descended on their heads and the place shook with the wind and the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit is always here, sometimes called the forgotten guest, because we're so busy doing things. And the Spirit is only available to those who surrender to it, who surrender to be guided by the Spirit. So I was curious when I went home the other day. I didn't know if we connected on this idea. And I'm wondering, what's your experience of being guided by the Spirit? Or did you listen for anything when I suggested that we ask the Spirit to make our guidance absolutely obvious and unmistakably clear? Who can share something about that? You see, I want to talk to you today with you. That's how we build community. Go ahead, Amy.
Well, it's been a long time since I've shared in church, so it's nice to be here. I am going to share about my new home. And already going to start to get emotional. So it's been a long journey. I've been living in a home that I loved in Zilker Park, renting. And I had to leave. My landlord was going to sell it for millions and millions of Austin dollars, and it needed millions and millions more work. So, you know, there wasn't a way I could do that. And so there was a lot of coming to terms with letting go. And, a lot of confusion around what to do next. And anyway, a path was, so this is what I prayed for. I prayed for crystal clear guidance. And this is something that I haven't always felt like I've received in other areas. There's been lots of confusion, lots of fog, lots of continuing to go ahead even when I didn't know if what I was doing was right, and that felt like the whole point in those situations. It seemed like there was this whole point of not knowing and moving ahead anyway. And but this situation, I didn't want that. I really wanted some flashing lights and some stop signs and some. So that's what I was praying for, and that's really kind of what happened. I fell into, had guidance by my father just on a daily basis. He held my hand in making this decision and talked to me every day on the phone about one worry or another that I had. And I had a lot of orbiting factors of my children, and that was all kind of just made clear. And then ultimately, I ended up in a home that was occupied by our community members, former church members. And I didn't know that was the case when I looked at the home. And the way I learned about it was I was walking in the backyard, and there was this paver, a tile on the ground with our church's symbol. And I said to the realtor, "That's my church's symbol." She said, "That's my church's symbol too." And she said, "Maybe this is a God thing." And I kind of went, no. And then several weeks passed because the house wasn't really on the market yet, and I couldn't really afford it. And Then my sister-in-law said to me one day, I saw this house online that you need to get. It's just perfect. And she pulled it up. And I was like, oh, I know that house. I know that house. I was like, well, let's go look at it again. And it happened that my whole family was there that particular day. And we went and looked at it and decided to make an offer. And I was in love with this house. And anyway, turns out it was owned by Mikael and Kate, if any of y'all know them. And then occupied by other church members after that. And, you know, there was multiple offers on the house, as there are in this market right now. And I was always weak in that position because of what I came to the table with. And, you know, they chose our offer over the other offers. And there's a statue of Mary that they left in the kitchen and a statue of Mary outside. And AJ told me, she said, and we talked a lot, and she said, okay, there's always daisies coming up. And every time there's daisies coming up, it's Kate. Because Kate passed in that house, and Tim told me the story of her passing. So there's been daisies all over the place, and I've been waving to them saying, hi, Kate, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. And Mikael said that he's happy that he knows that she'll have someone to watch out for, which she certainly will with me and my two boys, that's for sure, and my dogs and chickens and fish. Anyway, that's my current story of the Holy Spirit that I'm living. So we moved about a week and a half ago.
Beautiful, Amy. Thank you.
It's kind of long. Sorry.
Anybody else? What do you think of the idea of listening to voices in your head that say, go this way, go this way? There are a lot of voices in every one of our heads. How do you discern which one? Well, we talked about it last week. There's the interrogation of the spirits, or the proving of the spirits, or the testing of the spirits. Now, this may sound absolutely woo-woo to us, because we live in a materialistic culture that if you can't see it, it doesn't really exist. It's kind of ephemeral, not quite trustworthy, could be imagination. So in John's first letter, now this is the disciple that Jesus loved most, his dear, dear, intimate companion, writes this advice to the people to whom he's addressing his epistle. Inquire of the spirits, or test them, if they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you can trust that spirit. And if they don't acknowledge that he came in the flesh, and by the way, they won't, if they're not truth, they will just disappear, or they often say no when I inquire, no, and I know right away. Now, does that sound woo-woo to you? I challenge you. Yes, go ahead, Pamela.
Well, it does, and I would say that listening to the Spirit on a daily basis is a primary practice for me,
yes.
The practice of discernment, and I don't know how to live without it. In other words, even the smallest decision, I would like to be God's will. Up to the largest decision, like what Amy was just referring to, or job changes that I've made in the past, or just life changes. And for me, it is a matter of having to sort through those voices. We teach here at the church that man is a multiplicity, and that multiplicity carries with it different levels of voices. And what I've learned is they all have something useful, something to teach me, but they're at different levels, and that it takes a while to sort through the levels. And I've also learned that the Spirit's timeline is very different from mine.
Yes.
So, for example, about 10 years ago, I had been in the corporate world, 14 years ago, I guess, and I really felt like I was called to something else. And so I asked God, what would you like me to do? And it was 3 years. And I didn't move until the direction was absolutely clear. And the direction was, it ended up being very materially manifested. In other words, God uses the material world and confirming signs to show us. So it's either the voice of another who says just the right thing, ask just the right question, or it's, you know, something just appears, the circumstance, the right interview, whatever it may be. But it is the practice of receptivity and alertness and the willingness to wait until clarity comes. And that's the most difficult thing, is the temptation to act, react, choose, decide. Mm-hmm. Rationality, practicality, but just to wait and listen, mm-hmm. receive, and then the next hardest thing, at least for me, is when the signs come, am I willing? You know, as you said last week, really, God, is this it? You really want us to move to Austin? In one instance, I had to interview for 3 jobs and turn them down 3 times before I realized, oh, this isn't it. God has told me what to do, and I haven't had the courage to do it. And finally, that courage came.
Yeah. The spirit has a gestation period. And in that gestation period, we're just like a farmer with a seed or a pregnant woman. We wait. Knowing that the natural processes are functioning well, and that our lesson is often the patience of waiting. In patience you will possess your souls, patiently waiting, because everything in us wants to jump and do and make ourselves secure by making a fast choice. And in an instant gratification culture such as we live in, that can be very difficult. So faith just lets us rest in the trust of the integrity of this universe, of its creator for its people. We can trust it. Yes, Damie.
So, a couple quick things. It feels woo-woo to me, only in that I don't know what it looks like in a practical sense, like boots on the ground, and maybe you could give an example of what that might look like in questioning the spirit. And possibly to go along with that, you know, I was putting my 6-year-old Gavin to bed last night, and he confessed that he hears a lot of voices in his head. And I said, well, what do the voices tell you to do? And he talked about, well, take my friend to the nurse, walk to class, hurt somebody. And I said, well, you know, and I haven't been through some of the training here in the church, but I did the best I could with just the tools that I had. And I said, you know, those voices come out of the machine called our brain, and those aren't the truth. I said, if you get really quiet, then you can hear Christ in you and telling you which choice to make. But I have a feeling that whatever it is you're asking us to do would be very similar to how I might be able to communicate to my 6-year-old. So just wanted some clarification.
It is very similar. Oh my goodness, we've got so many. Well, we had a job we loved. We had a job we loved. We had a church here in Austin. It was, it grew by over 1,000 members in the 3.5 years we were there. There were 1,000 people a week. You couldn't get a seat. People were sitting in the aisles, sitting in the windowsills. It was exciting. It was truly exciting. It was a spiritual event that was happening. And yet, it didn't feel like people were growing. It just didn't feel like we were connecting. At the end of the church would be, nice sermon, Reverend. See you next week. And my counseling load stayed the same. The same people came in with the same issues. And we really pondered, what do you want to do about this? Because this church is getting in the way of our relationship with God. The church was very generous with us as it grew. And we were making more money than we ever dreamed of in our lives. And we prayed for guidance as to what to do. And our guidance came, quit. Just quit. And we did. We walked out without jobs. And we had given most of our money away to a spiritual organization. It was great. The freedom involved in that was so pure and true that we didn't have the slightest difficulty with this at all. But the prayer was a prayer like yours. I wanted to be crystal clear. I wanted to know the truth, and it had to echo in two people at once. So we quit, and magic began to happen. I've told you sometimes about a dream a friend had, in which she was found herself standing on a cloud, black space all around, and a voice says to her, "Step off." And she says, there's no way she could step off, paralyzed with fear. And the voice says, essentially, let her know that it was God telling her to step off. And so she thought, well, it is God. And so she took a step. And right up under her step, under her foot, came one of those shoeshine feet. And the voice said, take another step. She took another step off the cloud and into space, and another shoeshine foot came up. And she walked across the sky. Her takeaway was that the step in faith, the step to follow the advice of the Spirit, always preceded the answering response, the supportive response. I'll tell you a time we didn't test the Spirit and got in some big trouble. We were in school, in ministerial school, and had a long weekend, so we were in Missouri. We thought, well, we'll drive over and see Barb's mom and spend a weekend with her. We both liked being around her, and it was a great opportunity because it wasn't that far, I don't know, 500 miles, something like that. And there was a winter storm warning. And I looked at the warning. I grew up in the Midwest. I used to live in Canada. I've lived in the Northeast. We're just, what the heck, winter storm warning? So we jumped in our little Honda Civic without consulting the Spirit at all. Did what we were impelled. We had an impulse. I want to do this. Let's go. We got in the car, and as we got further and further away from home, the weather got worse and worse and worse. And pretty soon, the wind was driving the snow sideways across the road, and you could barely see 6 feet in front of the car. And as we got further yet, that wind had polished the surface of the interstate to a fine gloss, and the little car was doing this all the time. It was skating. And then we noticed, there's nobody else on the highway. Where are the trucks? Where are the cars? These roads were all closed. They were shut down. How we got on, I don't know. I guess it was just the grace of the Spirit said, these people need a lesson. So we got to Champaign, Urbana, or no, was it? No. We were out near there in the country where Dee Dee lived, and we started down the road, and there was a snowdrift about this high. So it was pretty intense by this time. I backed the car up, boom, I'm going to go through that snowdrift. No way. So she said, well, there's another way around. And the other way around was a little circuitous, and we got partway over about a mile from our mom's house where there was a bridge. And the car came to a halt on that bridge. That's it. It's not going any farther. Well, at that moment, all these Reader's Digest stories about people dying in snowstorms of 2 feet from a house because they can't see, and, you know, burning the seats in their cars to stay alive. This was a serious business. It was way below zero, and the snow was really bad. You couldn't see anything. So I got out of the car frantically digging with my hands, trying to make some room for some traction so the car could back up, because it wouldn't go either forward or back. And we tried rocking it, you know, from reverse to drive, nothing happening. So we got back in the car, and it's like, whoa, this is really serious. And we prayed. We just prayed. And I was moved to try one more time. And I put the car in gear, and it was as though a great hand took that car and turned it around right on the spot. And we drove out. Our tracks hadn't filled in yet from coming in. We drove out, went to Champaign-Urbana, and spent the weekend in a motel. So when we didn't consult the Spirit and went on our own, nothing happened. Whenever we consulted the Spirit, oh my goodness, the wonders happen. So the discernment Pamela was talking about is an art. And the quieter our minds are, and the more we listen for that still small voice, not the shout of some insistent habit or a whim or an urge that comes and goes, that still small voice is guidance. Now, here's something I've learned about this. When I ask for guidance, and the still small voice comes, immediately on the heels of it, it's like dropping a pebble in water. Waves come. Another voice says, well, what about this? And another voice says, what about this? It's the first voice you hear, the very first one without commentary, that is the source of safe guidance. So clearly this is practicable. It's necessary to practice it. Well, it's not necessary. It's our right as Christians to live by the Spirit, to be moved by the Spirit, and to trust the Spirit. You got to practice it. But, I mean, when you look at what happens when we trust ourselves and don't seek guidance and don't learn to listen to it, it always comes up crazy. But, you know, if you're on the journey, even that becomes a lesson. Even that becomes a lesson. Did you want to share something, Barn?
Yeah, I was thinking when something comes of the Spirit, there's a gut knowing. And it's and sometimes when it's not, it's more of an effort, you know, there's an excitement about it. But when it's of the Spirit, it's usually very grounded mm-hmm. and deep, and a kind of knowing that when second force or when opposition comes up, you mm-hmm. know that that's God's problem. It's not your problem.
Yeah. You know, and you know that you know. Anybody else? Ken, please.
I share those experiences. I'm at a point where, to me, it's the subtle things. I've always looked for the big revelation. What I have found is it's just the little nudges of the Spirit that provide for me the path. But it took a lot of hard work to get there, a lot of letting go to get there. I've been with this church almost 15 years, probably a solid 10 years in the Thursday night work class, 14 of those maybe doing centering prayer. And it takes that hard work to have the I don't know the word, but the patience to listen, mm-hmm. And the trust to listen, and to know that the prayer has already been answered
in the asking.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. There's work involved in this. Efforts must be made in all of the spiritual journey. Efforts must be made, and to be quite frank, those efforts are suffering. They cause us to suffer. Why? Because they're going against our conditioning. they're taking us into a whole new realm of human experience and leaving the old realm to which we're clinging and holding on as though these the conditioning that we've had is truth and life and necessary. It is a bit of suffering to let go. But then on the other side of it, it's like, whoa, isn't this amazing? Take no anxious thought for what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. Look at the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, yet they're clothed in no raiment more glorious than Solomon. And look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or lay up in barns, and yet your Father feeds these. This universe, the entire universe, is one thing, one creation. And it is pervaded by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And then there are countless little personal spirits all over the place in the psychic plane, which we are privileged to learn to ignore and privileged to have signs. You were talking about signs, Pamela. One time when I was first learning this while we were in school, a word came on the radio, and about 2 seconds later it was on a sign on alongside the road, and then I got to the place I was going, and the person said the word. He said, "Got it. Thank you." You know, 3 points makes a straight line. I like 3 signs. In the Bible, they talk about Gideon casting a fleece, looking for signs that way. But the directness of the Holy Spirit had not been given generally yet. And now the Spirit is available to every and all. And I look forward to sharing a community who lives by guidance with you. Let's stand up and give our hearts to song.
I am so.
Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Water rising and falling, advancing, receding. Deep peace of the flowing wave to you. Deep peace. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace, deep peace. The air which you breathe deeply brings energy and life. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Harboring the life of the 10,000 creatures. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Beaming down in compassion on our turning world. Deep peace of the shining stars to you. Deep peace. Deep peace of the Sun of Peace to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Deep peace of the Sun of Peace to you. Deep peace, deep peace. Swift as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Sun of Peace to you. Deep
peace. Accepting Sue's prayer for deep peace. We pray to the Spirit for all good gifts. Before we join in silent prayer, for the gift of vision, that I may see with heaven's eyes, so that people will be safe in my presence. Give me your vision. For the gift of conviction, that I become the song of the gospel, of the good news, your word made flesh in me. Give me your conviction. For the gift of compassion, that I may always be a healing presence bending low to wash feet and to touch wounds. Give me your compassion. For the gift of poverty, that I may be at home with emptiness, a willing space for God. Give me your poverty. For the gift of stability, that I may be able to stay with the gospel in times of discouragement, give me your stability. For the gift of hope, that I may stand on tiptoe with the whole world waiting for rebirth, growth, and completion, give me your hope. For the gift of reverence, that I may hold sacred the gift of each person ever proclaiming the value of all creation, give me your reverence. Finally, we pray for grace to recognize each gift as it's given, receive it as a gift, and acknowledge that it is mine to give away. Give me your own self-giving. And now we open to the presence of the living God, waiting patiently to receive the gifts that we have asked for. And now we dare to pray confidently as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that serves us. And we do it in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant, always supply for every particle of His creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, these are symbols of His infinite supply, we bless them with our knowledge of what's always been true. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. awake now to the infinite guidance of the Spirit. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. Now, before we celebrate the Eucharist together, I have a P.S., an addendum, or a mulligan, you might say, for those of you who know golf. I didn't finish that story well about quitting our job. The Spirit said, let it go. And we go, okay, we got to let it go. And a little while later, it's like, what are we doing? That's insane. And then the Spirit would say, no, just let go. We say, sure, we're going to let go. And a little while later, we'd look at each other and go, what are we doing? This is the best thing that ever happened to us. It went on like that for a while. So this is part of the education of listening to the Spirit. We are risk-free when we listen to the Spirit, but it feels like a risk. Okay, now here's the insurance policy. This is the gift that wants to give itself to us and in a sense wants to consume us. We look at the host, the physical presence that's carrying the Christ Spirit or the living presence of Christ. And as we take that into ourselves and it's assimilated into our bodies, Christ is assimilating us into his glorified body, his risen presence. As we participate in what's sometimes known as the cup of salvation, we realize, along with every other person in this universe, we've been forgiven because God is a forgiving God. It's we who hold grudges, we who keep ourselves feeling separate. God wants us to come and enjoy our lives and to live it in love, live it in certitude, and live it in absolute spiritual freedom. This cup and these hosts reaffirm this every time we share them. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again, he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
Thank you.
living and eternal Christ. We feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace. Listening, thank you for teaching us to hear and follow. Amen.